here we go. In 3, 2... Welcome back to the Ministry Without Hating It podcast, a ministry of Odyssey Haven Coaching and Counseling dedicated to the pursuit of answering the question, is it possible to do ministry without hating it? We have a theory that it just might be. I'm Chad Garrison here with Brenton Hill, and today we are launching a new type of episode that we've been kicking around for a while now called Shop Talk, where we focus on specific skills, challenges, or circumstances that are unique to the ministry leader and then unpack them in a way that's practical and applicable for you today. Sometimes it'll just be Brenton and I, other times we'll have guests like we do today. And so today joining us, we have two leaders that are no strangers to our podcast. First, we got Billy Holden, who is a pastor at Innovation in Lafayette, Indiana. And then Dustin Black, who is also a pastor at Grace Rhinelander in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Guys, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello.
Back? This is the first time I've been here. What are you talking about?
Whoa. You're removing the mystery behind all of this. We're recording your episode next.
I forgot.
This is all staying in. I don't care.
Do it. That'd be amazing.
The magic of movie making has all been taken away, especially since we're making a podcast. So
it's good. You're right. I'm back, baby.
Yay.
I've got work to do.
Oh, man. All right. So today's focus and our topic today, guys, is something that you guys are no strangers to. And I would say I really, really appreciate your perspective on. And that is the topic of sermonizing. Now, you may have not heard that word, or it's not used a whole lot, but it's actually a real word. It's a real word. It's a verb to compose or to deliver a sermon, right?
And so we're sermonizers?
You are sermonizers. And you know what's really interesting? I was thinking about this morning, is we all four of us bring really different approaches and maybe even practices to sermonizing, creating sermons, delivering sermons. We're definitely four different styles and approaches, but I feel like we're grounded in a lot of the same, like even just philosophies behind that. And so we want to talk through and maybe even help make this something that's less daunting for those who are like, another week is coming, you know, like I get a reprieve until next week, and I got to do this all over again. And so talk through some of the things that have helped you along the way, but also that can help others grow where they're at. And so let's start at the start. Walk us through your typical process for writing a message for your worship service.
I don't know if I have a typical process. It's an ongoing process. I mean, preparation is the key that unlocks the door to success. And so I'm constantly writing a sermon in my head.
Maybe speak to the weekly process. I should have clarified with that. So let me, like, what does your week look like when it comes to prepping?
We staff meeting on Mondays, and the first most important thing on Tuesdays is the sermon. It has to be done early so that I can't get distracted, so there's no other things that can pop in. And so I take out of those folders what was previously scheduled for this week and start to tie them all together with stories and illustrations and supporting scriptures. And so it all happens Tuesday morning, usually from about 9 to 1 or 2 o'clock.
And is there anything else the rest of the week for you with that? Do you revisit it?
On Thursdays, that's when I'll build out my slides. So if there's anything that sneaks in, anything that culturally fits at that time, but usually not many things change. And so I'll put my poor presenter slides together on Thursday, sermon notes that go out on Thursday, and that's about it.
Okay. Dustin, what about you? What's your week look like with message prep?
If you would have asked me this like 6 months ago, it would be a completely different process. And I don't know if this is something we want to talk about later or not, but we just in the last probably 6 months, maybe a little bit more, have started a speaking team where we currently have 4 people that are on the speaking team. And so, and then we rotate and only I'm the only pastor that's currently on the speaking team. Everybody else is just kind of lay leaders in our congregation. And so we rotate that almost every week where I'm only really speaking probably twice a month is kind of what mine looks like. I normally try to take a little bit more of the if people are gone or whatever. And reality is I wish sometimes that I was as dialed in as Billy is, but my wife, she'll actually, she's like, I don't understand how you write your message on Saturday night. I'm like, I'm not writing my message. Like, I might actually be putting it on paper or in my Word document or whatever. I'm like, but this message has been in my head for literally weeks, if not months. And so when I actually sit down to type it, it maybe take me 30 or 45 minutes at the most. The process has been going in my head for weeks. And like I said, sometimes even months. I find if I do that, I tend to, it just flows easier for me when I try to sit and write messages out way ahead of time, that I often cut them short and then have to end up rewriting them as I get closer anyway. And so it's been, but again, that process has changed for me. I mean, I used to be a little bit more on the Billy side of writing things out way in advance. Like, we try to get sermon series done at least one series ahead of, like, they'll have the whole thing written before the next series even started. And so that's even been a process change for us. Partly, we're working now with lay leaders who don't do this as their job. And so to try to navigate that a little bit. And then as we'll talk about more, but my schedule has shifted pretty significantly in the last few months and stuff as well. So writing things out that much in advance is just not, hasn't been practical for us.
So yours is when you do sit down, you say, it sounds like it's more towards the end or closer to Sunday when you're doing that.
Yeah, it's normally Friday or Saturday. I'll sit down and, I mean, I'll either be in my office here at the church or my office at the house. But again, by the time I'm actually putting stuff onto a Word doc, it's an hour would be probably the most that it takes for me.
Hmm. Brenton, what is it? What does your week look like when you're prepping?
Week to week. Tuesday, when I come into the office, I look over where we're going for that week, because we've scheduled out, you know, a series ahead of time, kind of like Dustin was saying. We have about a series ahead of time. We know where we're going, a general outline. So I'll come in on Tuesday and look over it. I do my sermon writing on Thursdays. It just the way that there's no people here in the office typically on Thursdays, so it's the best day for me to write without interruption. But because we've done the pre-work of kind of like Billy was saying, where I'm taking stuff and putting it in folders all year long. And so by the time we get to that point, the pre-work's done. I've been cooking on something in my head and knowing where we're at. So Thursday when I sit down, that's when I do most of my writing, and it takes 2 to 3 hours.
Wow. See, I'm a little bit like Billy, and that I switched my schedule a couple of years ago, and I wish I'd done this a lot sooner, to where there's nobody here in the office. The office is closed on Monday. And so I come in when there's nobody, because it can be quiet. And that's when I sit down and I get in earlier, because I've learned that creative juices are flowing a lot better for me earlier in the day. Usually when I hit around noon, that's when I start to hit my yellow zone, which some of you may know what that means. But it has been a thing where I have to kind of get that in earlier in the front of the week, because it helps me to front load it. Then I'm not really worrying about it the rest of the week. That doesn't mean I don't go back to it and add something as it comes up, because then I will always on Sunday morning, I'm up early to go over my notes, not rehearsing them, just to look through them and to make sure that I remember what I'm talking about, or if, you know, God is showing me something else to add or changing it up just a little bit. But kind of the same thoughts of what you guys are talking about. We're going to talk about this more. I adopted this actually from Billy and even from Dustin when you guys were doing this a bit more, where we mapped out the entire year, which is possible. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But how much that has helped us, like you mentioned, I'm saving stuff. I have ideas that are ready to go, and then resources that I've collected for that, so that when I do sit down, I have things to draw from and pull from as well. It's kind of that slow cooker. I love that idea when we apply that.
Hey, Chad.
Yeah.
Not mean to interrupt. I didn't want it to sound like we're not planning ahead of time.
Yeah, I thought you were very irresponsible. So I'm glad that you pointed that out. Thank you for telling us you don't just shoot from the hip on Saturday night.
We're planning, like I said, months, and sometimes, I mean, we try to do at least 6 months. We've been trying to do sometimes even more than that. But again, part of that is has even shifted now that we have more lay leaders that we used to do more year type of thing in advance. But so the messages and the series are things that I've been processing for a long time. I'm saying on in the individual week part when I'm just sitting down, and part of that, again, writing one message out of a five or two messages out of a six message series, I have weeks that I can kind of sit and process those things as other people are speaking, as God speaks things, which is phenomenal on my end to sit there and have people preach to me. And hear what God is speaking to them and through them. And then sometimes that like shifts some things even in the way I'm speaking or the things I'm going to be bringing. So it's a process that's actually a long process. But as far as me individually sitting down to write a message, by the time I sit down to write it, it doesn't normally take me very long.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, let me stay with you then, Dustin, for a second on this one. What is, and you guys can answer this as well. What's your overall approach when you sit down to write a singular message? What's your overall, like, where do you come from with that?
Andy Stanley.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Seriously, his whole thing. So I look back.
I download whatever he's, you know, whatever he did last week.
Whatever he said last week, that's what I'm preaching.
And it's wonderful.
For me, it was – so in college, I took every preaching class I possibly could take. And I look back at some of my old messages, and I'm like, I don't know how people didn't leave the church because they're actually pretty bad. And I think a lot of it is – and I'm looking at my congregation. Again, I think a lot of it has to do with your current context and who's in your church. And we're an old church, but currently we have a lot of newer young people, young in the faith. Some people I would say are not even – part of the faith. They are actually just, they come for our community. And so I think part of that is I'm looking at people going, I have people that have been saved longer than I've been alive. And I have people that probably wouldn't even say they know who Jesus is yet. And I'm like, what is the one thing I want them to walk away from? Mm-hmm. I think I have a tendency sometimes to put too much information in my messages and be like, oh, you need to know this. And then, I mean, just for instance, a few weeks ago, I spoke on salvation and I was like, man, I'm going to use the Roman road and I'm going to use like all the stuff we grew up knowing, right? Like these are the ways that, and I was like, what does Jesus actually say about salvation? Like what does he actually say it takes to be saved? And I came away with believe and repentance. And I'm like, it can't be that easy, right? Like we add a lot of these other things to it. And so for me, it was like, so I'll try to say that different ways, you know, because people hear things differently or whatever. But for me, it's as Andy Stanley says, like, what is the one thing that you want them to walk away with? Because reality is most people don't remember the 3 points, even if they all start with the same letter.
That's right.
Like all of those type of things, when it's all said and done, they don't remember. And they'll just tell you, good job, whoever, for speaking. And I'm like, but I want them when they're sitting around their table that afternoon for lunch or whatever to be like, man, Dustin kept saying, you know, belief and repent. Like, what does that look like? How does that actually look in our lives? And so to try to simplify the things I'm saying as much as possible.
Well, I love that you said that, especially when I think of Andy Stanley, and I have passed this along to so many people, their book, Seven Practices for Effective Ministry. He talks about preaching more with less. And like, mm-hmm. I remember, man, I had a good friend of mine actually listen to one of my messages. This is years ago. And it's like, that was good. You had way too much like fire hose of content, like all that scripture. It doesn't mean that you don't use scripture. You just don't have to use as much, because what are you trying to get them to actually walk away with? I love that. I love that. Billy, what do you think? What's your approach?
My first approach is knowing the room, knowing how many in there know what I'm already saying, like what I'm already referencing, which is very little. like we reach a lot of unchurched people, and same thing, like some come more for the community than they do for the faith. And so you've got to know whether they're skeptics in the room, whether they know it, they don't believe it, or they do believe it, but they're fearful of it. And so you just need to first, I think, learn how to read your room and know your audience. And so, So I look at it with that approach, but then I try to take a slow stroll through scripture and like whether it's just one or two verses or 10, I'm still gonna pause. Right. Cause that's how I read. Right. I stop and pause and say, really, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And try to make that make as much sense for the person on the first row as the back row. And so preaching with everybody in the room in mind, and so that they can practically apply what we just walked through.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
I just want to go back to the fact that he said he has people on his front
row. it's all the people that show up late because there's no other seats that are open.
we have front row people and they actually talk to me. So I get to have a fun little interaction with that as well. It's a whole new ball game. You go to Iowa, it's just different.
So. It is. I've been there.
Iowa's different.
It is. Yep. And Dustin, you know, cause you're from here. So
I am.
Yeah. Brenton, what about you? What's your approach?
Well, I have a few. Depending on the type of message or the season that we're in. But like Billy said, know your context. It's huge. Mm-hmm. If you know your audience, then you can answer some of those other questions beforehand. One of the things that I sit down when I'm writing, I ask myself, what's either the question I'm answering? Like Dustin was saying, what's the one thing that I want them to walk? What's the question I'm answering, or what's the problem I'm addressing? And then what's the response of the believer? How is the believer supposed to respond? Or at what point do we have this, the choice? Where's our next step? And trying to do that and leave someone with an action point at the end. What do I do now in light of what I just heard? I love to say, I would love you to go home and talk with this around your table. Talk about this with your family. That way, at least it's to, especially when you're wrestling with new ideas or conflicting ideas of a worldview that you were in before. Just wrestle with them with the Lord. And so that's my context.
I like it. You and I are a little similar in that, at least in that vein. And I've told so many people even recently, and I'm going to preface this. For me, it actually came from a bit of an identity crisis in my preaching several years ago. I was trying to be what I thought was right. And then I also had this stuff in my ear of, oh, I got to be more evangelistic, or I got to, whatever. And I finally landed on this spot of, I'm just going to be practically living out your faith guy. That's just where it's going to come from. If you have a problem with that, I'm sorry. I'm sure you can download or find another church that's going to fit whatever style you're looking for. And you guys know, I came into the setting that I'm at now. I'm a completely different style, not better or worse than, at least I don't think worse. Depending on who you talk to, I guess, but just different. And it's going to be more conversational. It's going to be practical. But I had this real interesting revelation a couple of years ago, especially in regards to maybe those who would come to a message with a consumeristic, what am I going to get out of it? And I thought, how do we answer the question of what's in it for me and what do I need to do to get it? And so when I think of whatever it is, if I'm, Billy, like you're talking about something, just pausing and little by little, or if I'm going line by line through scripture, or if it's topical, right? What is the point of what we're reading? Why does that even matter? And what am I supposed to do with that? Otherwise, what are we doing, right? I think I'm hearing that within all of you guys as well. Super appreciate that. So let me talk mechanics with you. You guys, are you manuscripters? Are you outliners? Are you a hybrid?
I got really good at outlining when I was in youth ministry. And then when I became the senior pastor, I was scared to death. And so I went to manuscripting.
Okay.
To make sure that I'm staying on track. There was also a lot more hats that I was wearing on a Sunday morning when we first planted, from leading worship to, and so I didn't want to forget anything. And so I had to make sure that everything was written out And I even highlight in different colors. Like, yes. these are the things that are going to be on the screen. These are the things that get me back on track if I get in a rabbit trail. These are the scriptures. Like, those are the and I think I have one more where it's an audience participation or a mm-hmm. repeat type thing. And so I kind of have like those things help get me back on track. And so right now I'm getting more towards an outline, but it's still almost a 4-page manuscript. And some of the stuff I'm able to bullet just because it's natural.
Okay. So manuscripter with color coding. And I love that because I do the same thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. Dustin, what are you?
Used to be huge into outlining. And then when we started several years ago as a staff preaching each other's messages, it was one of those things that we found very quickly that people don't understand your jumps, right? Like you had an outline and they'd be like, how in the world did you go from there? And you're like, well, how did you not get there?
Yeah.
And so it became those things that we had to start manuscripting to make it all make sense. And I've stayed with that. So I don't do color. I preach from my iPad. My thing is I save it, double space. I kind of do bullet type things. And I know if I get lost, I'm on that page. And then I bold like scriptures and main points and just kind of go from there. So.
All right, Brenton.
Yeah. I probably manuscript 90% of it at this point. 95% of it in case. And I started doing it this way because I missed a Sunday one time and I sent my outline over to the person that had to step in for me. And they're like, yeah, I just preached my own thing because my outline didn't make sense to them. It made perfect sense to me because it works. But, so I ask everyone on our team to have a message in their back pocket in case I get my teeth knocked out playing hockey or something the night before. And then, but also I manuscript so I can hand them something and say, hey, you could read this word for word and it will work.
Okay. So this is interesting. And I actually have a follow-up question for all three of you. Okay. Because I do not manuscript. I am the outline guy. I know. Right. And maybe a little bit of a hybrid because there are some things where it's like, I have a thought, I want to make sure I say it that way. And so I will write that fully out. But for me personally, I found that the more that I manuscripted, the more married to those notes that I were. And I was telling people I'm only married to my wife and that's it. And so in fact, I've even noticed and I've even coached others in this, that when it is manuscripted, maybe they don't sound like they're reading it, but they're not as in tune as to, reading the room, or especially maybe what even the Holy Spirit is leading in that. And so I'm curious how you guys are able to manuscript and yet still be free flowing in that, because for me, that's just, I have to bullet. Otherwise I'll stick right to that and that'll be it and it'll be bad.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you guys say to that?
For me, Jad, a lot of it came from, I was saying a lot of things that when it went back to the kind of the Andy Stanley thing of making sure that I say the one thing, so this helps me kind of write all of that out. Now, I think you've heard me speak a couple times where I don't feel like I read very much of what I'm saying. I mean, there's times that I do because I want to make sure, as you said, that I say it a certain way. Part of my process is writing it out helps kind of plant it in my head. So then the reality is I could probably preach my whole message really without notes at all.
Wow. Good for you.
But it just helps me go, if I'm taking some of those tangents or kind of going off, then I can go, okay, here's where I'm at. Here's where I need to progress to the next thing. So it became more of me putting it on a document or whatever to make sure that I was saying what I wanted to say, and saying it in a way that people would actually understand what I was trying to say. But I'm not married to them. Very much at all.
Yeah. Billy, what about you?
Yeah. Mine too are on an iPad and I set it down and move around. And so that's where the highlighting helps me get back on track. And so I don't know. I wouldn't want to preach a message without it, but I have, because whether the file didn't download or I set my iPad down and forgot where I set it, and so I can use it definitely as an outline and just go.
So
I'm glad that you mentioned the highlighting thing, because I forgot to mention that too. Like I have, you guys know, you've all seen my notes. I have different colors and they mean for different things. Like you're talking about, like, I know this is a point that's going to be on the screen. This one's scripture. This one is for, you know, like you said, audience or illustration type of a thing. And so I know that as I, cause I also move around when my eye hits the page, I know, you know, mm-hmm. Well, mine's an iPad as well. I think we're an iPad crew yep. here, but yeah. Brenton, what about you as far as manuscripting? And
I like now doing it this way, like Dustin was saying, it plants it in you, which frees you up to be able to do more. Preparation is absolutely key. The more time you've yes. spent mulling over something, thinking about how you want to word a certain phrasing or thing, that plants it in you, which I think gives me more freedom to walk away from my notes rather than checking to go, did I go off on a tangent here? Mm-hmm. And without fail, every message, there is like a new story pops in, a new illustration, Holy Spirit drops something into your lap and you go, I have to go here. And it, you see the fit, how it fits in everything before you ever actually finish up. So I think having it written out has been a help for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, prep is good.
I think for me too, sometimes I'll write it out and go, and like, as I read it back, I'm like, that's not what I want to say. Like, yeah. it's yeah. one of those things that like, if I would have just spoke from an outline, I would have said it that mm-hmm. way. And so writing it out, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I need to say that differently. Cause again, I might know what I'm saying, but if I was somebody just listening or like that, you go back and read it and go, yeah, that doesn't really make sense the way mm-hmm. that I thought it was going to. So it's helped kind of clarify some of those things for me.
So outside of scripture, okay, what are the must-have elements that you guys include or you feel like you need to try to pull in at any point?
Artwork.
Okay.
I mean,
elaborate.
We use artwork to grab attention. We use it to advertise. And so there's always going to be an artwork integration, just visually. Mm-hmm. We want it to visually connect with who we want to connect with.
Okay.
And I mean, the theming of stuff is really important to us as well. I'm getting ready to outline for next year a series on fruit of the Spirit, right? And so my theming for it is to grow a pear.
are we about to get our second bleep? Is that where
not work in northern Wisconsin? Guarantee that.
Nor Iowa. But keep going.
Well, it totally does not work with the Christian audience in Indiana by any means.
Sure.
But what it does work is with every factory worker, and we're a town full of factory workers. Every blue collar worker that doesn't want to step into a church says, "Oh, grow a pair. Ha! I could try that church. Yep. I could go to church there." and so and that's who we want to reach. 67% of our county has nothing to do with church, and so I want to reach them. and so theming it and artwork, like last Easter was get off your donkey this Easter at Innovation.
I was about to say, yeah, get your donkey to church, right?
Yeah, and after Easter is always bring your keister after Easter. So it's who we're going after, right? Like there's plenty of church people going to plenty of churches, right? And but there's also plenty that aren't going. And so what is going to grab their attention on top of scripture, and how are you going to relate that to their life? Mm-hmm. Well, they need patience and self-control. Right. And so I'm going to tell them to grow a pair.
I cannot wait till that gets highlighted at fall conference.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I never get highlighted at fall conference.
That's why you're not invited to MC. That's for sure.
That's right.
Maybe. That's good stuff, though. So the artwork and the presentation. Dustin, what about you?
I go back constantly and think of how much I grew up in the church. I know scripture. I know the stories, like all those things. So I keep going back in my message and going, how do I say this in a way that doesn't sound churchy?
Right.
I think that's, I think for me, that's like super important. Some of the older people that have been church a long time kind of get frustrated when I'm like, hey, we're going to talk about David today, but let me give you a history real quick to get you where we're at in that story. And try to say that as basic as possible so that people are like, okay, because this is why that makes sense to what I'm actually talking about today. Which sometimes is frustrating because I'm like, I just wish people would know so I can just move on. But for me, that's the biggest thing is to go back. And sometimes I'll even send my messages to my wife and be like, does this sound churchy? Like, how can I rephrase this in a way that doesn't, again, doesn't sound churchy or doesn't use just common Sunday morning speak in a way that they people would understand a little bit better. So that's probably my biggest thing besides scripture is to go, how do I say whatever I'm saying about scripture or whatever in a way that doesn't sound so uncommon that people don't understand.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, I'm all the time saying, let me give you just a quick context of what's going on here. Because yeah, that was something that was also passed along to me a long time ago. Don't assume that everybody in the room knows what you're talking about because they probably don't, even if they've been in church for a very long time. That's really good. Brenton, what about you?
Yeah. I'd just say, make it practical, tell stories or illustrate the points you're trying to make with practical usage, in everyday life that people are actually going to use, not something that's hypothetical. That's some far off place for super spiritual people. Like Billy was saying, let's make it applicable to the factory worker as well as, you know, your blue collar, your white collar, everybody can use it. So
I love that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Honestly, the only other thing I would really add to what you guys have said that I really try to incorporate, any more especially are the, not just the practical, but maybe even almost the testimonial when it comes to in my, not just in my own life. And I have to be really careful. I tell people, I don't ever want to present myself as the hero of the of what's going on and like I figured this out type of thing anymore. I'll use the stuff. It's like, yeah, I straight up failed. Mm-hmm. Like I'm the worst. And that's also not a self-effacing thing, but it's a in a like, no, I wrestle with this just like you do, you know, and so really trying to make it illustrative in a way that that resonates with people in a practical way that we're all in this same space.
That's good vulnerability, so, Chad. That's really good. Yeah. People can follow somebody that's not perfect.
Well, I'm definitely that. So thank you. I appreciate that.
I've been using the phrase a lot lately. I'm like, hey guys, this is something that God's been bothering me with. And like, I'm going to bother you with it too, because I haven't figured it out yet. So here you go. You guys can help me get through this.
That's good.
See, you guys have all touched on a little bit, and we'll let's maybe pull out just a bit in the experience of collaborating with others when it comes to message writing, and we won't we'll get into like the series planning in just a minute. Let's talk specifically maybe to maybe just the singular message, or maybe even just a couple of messages, because you've done that as well, Dustin. But what is your experience really been like, or what have you found to be beneficial and helpful when it comes to collaborating on the messages?
So for us, again, this changed. The previous pastor, that was the lead pastor here. We did kind of collaboration stuff, and it was all people who were pastors and on staff. And so most of them have been to Bible college, preached and stuff before. So it was actually a pretty easy process. We'd even done some collaboration with other churches in our area and things like that. And so we'd all get together and kind of plan things out and write messages for one another and shift them back and forth and all of that. And now we're doing collaboration with local people in our congregation that only one of them really has any experience preaching a message. And so it's actually way more work because it's not really – I mean, it's collaboration, but it's also walking through that process of, here, let me help you understand why I do what I do. And so it's been super busy. but it's also been super rewarding to see people develop. And we're actually looking to add two more people to our speaking team this summer. That are, because I want to try to get somebody in every age group of our church. And so we're working on that process right now. And it's like, again, it's a lot more people like, oh, Dustin, you speak less. It's less work. I'm like, actually, this is way more work for me to be able to do this than it is to just get up. Like, preaching to me is easy. I love preaching. It's way harder to walk with people through this process. Yeah. So the collab process, I am finding, especially again, people who are not doing this for a living, is I have to communicate way more. I can't just go, hey guys, what do you think about this? And everybody like gives their information, like their opinion, because pastors are really good at that. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like having to draw a lot of this information out of them to go, where do you think about this? Why are you thinking this way? Like, what are the things that are happening in your life? And so it involves them in that collaborative process that they typically just stay out of if they're not part of a speaking team or whatever. And so, I don't have it nailed down at all yet. We're still working through that. So it's been super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and talk to just real quick. I mean, because you mentioned it's a little bit harder to be working with somebody. What are, you know, you've talked about the benefits, but maybe what are some of the practical or the best practices in working with somebody, especially who's not done this a lot? What would you say, like, oh, I could maybe get on that train? Like, what would you encourage them with?
One of the best things I have found that I, and maybe I don't know if all leaders like to do this or not, but I give, like, I'll invite people into my sermon writing process and be like, this is kind of what I do. Again, everybody's different. I mean, we kind of all said it even here today. We all write sermons differently and we all process differently and things. But then I will give them my sermon notes, like, ahead of time and be like, just read through them. And then I actually want you to hold my sermon notes on the Sunday morning while I'm preaching. And I want you to see what I actually do with my sermon, that everything that I have written down, I actually don't say everything that's written down. And I'm going to throw things in that you're like, well, where in the world did that come from? And I might end a message, you know, goes back to reading the audience. I might end a message early because people are just not into it. Or I might like, and so them watching that process, not just hearing it, but actually watching it on a paper has been super helpful for them to go, oh, okay, this is not, it's not what I thought it was. That's normally the response that I get from most people is, this isn't what I thought it was. And I think I can do this. Mm-hmm.
That's really good. Thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you for that. Billy, what about you? Collaborating with others. What's that been like for you?
There's been times where I've just let them go. We usually start off with a couple training books, talking through just some things that I've learned, one of them being those seven practices, right? Then if we're in the middle of a series and it's already mapped out and I'm just asking them to take a week, I'll pull back my manuscript, because sometimes it'll already be done, and just give them the bulletin and kind of say, hey, this is where I interject this here, this is where I put this here, this is where this comes home, this is where the band comes up, like all those different types of things. I think there was a time even this year where I was like, this is a softball scripture. Here you go. Lay it up. And they only paid attention to the first five words. I'm like, that is not where it was supposed to go. What are you doing? Like, how is this? And so it definitely takes more work and more intentionality to say, okay, where we're at, and helping them understand we're doing this because of where we're at as a church and where we need to go.
Yeah.
And where is God leading us? And so I try to now slow it down, pull it back. And if that can't happen in an email, I know there's certain people that it can happen with an email, but certain people that they have to have that face to face. And This is where this series have been going. And sometimes it's no fault to them. They haven't been in there.
Right. Yeah.
They've been serving in different places. They've been filling in different holes. And so I try to have that one-on-one meeting with them and let them and set them up for success.
Yeah.
Right. I don't just give them 1 week to choose from. I usually give them, hey, here's 5 weeks. Pick one of the weeks. And here's the main topics that we're going to cover. Which ones relate to you the most?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're coming up on our last Doubting God, and it's being mad or being so doubtful in God because of circumstances that had happened to you. And so I've got people that their sons were diagnosed with diabetes, people that went through miscarriages. I'm like, okay, hey, you guys come in on this one. That's just knowing the people, knowing the presenters and saying, I think you've got some strengths on this. Mm-hmm. I've got another guy that fills in. He's a physics teacher, did nuclear science in the Air Force. And so all the science versus Christianity talks, I'm like, hey, come on. Come on, here you right. go. And so knowing when to tap them on the shoulder at the right mm-hmm. time too is definitely beneficial. Yeah.
Well, I'm grateful you said that because it actually it sparked a couple of thoughts for me when we'll get to, like I said, we keep talking about the year plan or whatever, and we'll get there, I promise. But when I send out our playbooks, what we call it, and it's got each week has got the big idea type of a thing, and then the text, the suggested text, doesn't have to always stick with that. There's things that you think fit better with that, and hand them out. So within our teaching team, I'll do the same thing. I'll send them and go, hey, what do you think? You know, which ones fit, that type of thing. However, I noticed with one of the guys, he's a great preacher, but one of the things that I feel like in a way of pushing him in a different way was actually assigning ones that maybe weren't necessarily in his wheelhouse, so to speak. And so like, cause I noticed, I'm like, hey, this might push you and stretch you a little more to not just pull from those things that you grab all the time and you know, but actually have to actually do a little bit more.
Yeah.
And he actually thanked me for it. I was like, yeah. Oh, well, sometimes I get it right. So there you go. And so, that's really, really great. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
We had somebody, one of our speakers, we had a series and we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and she has no Pentecostal background at all. And I'm like, awesome. You're the one that's going to speak on the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because nice. I'm like, I don't want just the traditional, like, oh, this is what it is or whatever. I'm like, I want a different perspective. And she believes in the gifts of the Spirit and all those type of things. But she just wasn't coming from that typical Pentecostal background. And I was like, this is like, I'm sitting there going, this is great. And the people in our congregation, I'm like, I don't know how they're going to take this because, again, we're a Pentecostal church and been, you know, here for 90 years. And I was like, what is going to happen? And I got more compliments on that message than I have in a like message in a long time. And it was just the simplicity of who the Holy Spirit was. And it goes back to, I think, sometimes pushing people in directions that they're not comfortable with.
Yeah.
Good deal. Well, I, with us, we collaborate. I've recently had somebody speaking. So I speak 3 weeks and then I have somebody else speak 1 week of the month. Every fifth Sunday, we do a family Sunday and our family pastors do that Sunday with the kids involved as well. And so we've been collaborating in that regard, but, handing off a series that I've mainly put together and then having somebody else preach these one-offs inside of those series. I'm finding how I lack in my leadership in areas and how nice. I need to communicate more clearly and more effectively. So before I'd give, you know, the verses that, you know, the main idea and here's some verses, but feel free, pull in more or less or work around. And now I'm like, here's where I would go with the message and here's my thoughts and give some bullet points to all of that. And then say, but you have freedom in that. I just want you to see where mm-hmm. my brain was going as I put this together. So that way you can see the bigger part of it. Most of everybody else that speaks, they all work other jobs. And so I'm the one that's around the church, you know, 24 hours a day, it seems like. And so connecting with them is more intentional and everybody's on different schedules. So we just have to communicate more clearly that way. But that's how we do it here.
I like to use that word that you use that word intentionality, because that's what I keep hearing within the three of you. And even I find, excuse me, any success that I've had here within that collaboration, it is that, especially when within our teaching team, you know, we'll have series where I only do one out of maybe the four. And so that means connecting with the three others. Well, I'm not going to do that individually. Just if we can try to have that, and even if it means in the evenings when everybody's off, right, we have a Zoom call and we're talking through so that that there's not a crazy amount of overlap. Like, I think it should, like a series should overlap and build into each other, but that it's not, I'm preaching what you did already, right. You know, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And it just takes that intentionality. And so it's good. And Dustin, you mentioned this earlier. I really, really appreciate it. You were talking about how you'll let your wife read your stuff before. I don't do that as much as we used to. And even as I think about it now, maybe that's something I need to do more. But for a long time, I pushed back because that's like, I don't need anybody else correcting me. Like, I just want to, you know, like, that it's already fine. I don't need any more input. Like, you know, and obviously that went really well for the marriage. But I had to get up. But it was something I had to get over. And it was actually in this season here. It's like, no, we're doing this together. And so, and she can bring an approach that I can't. And you all know Lindsay, she's not the one to get up and preach, but she's doing it more now because of some of the, you know, just the moving in this together. And it's been really rewarding within that. So really appreciate that. Okay. So guys, we have talked about this a lot and let's actually finally go there. Okay. And I'm gonna jump ahead just a little bit. We'll get back to the delivery of things, but for some, just the thought of, you know, months, maybe 6 months, let alone a year, preaching calendar and setting that out is a really, really daunting thing. In fact, it used to be for me, I think I told you guys before, the most I could get was like six months possibly. And it was actually conversations with you two specifically at a cohort that we had of just that really challenged me to think, no, we can, you know, plan ahead and do a whole year. So tell me, or maybe tell us, obviously, where did this practice begin for you guys, and what are the benefits that you have personally seen that come from planning ahead that far out?
I think for me, part of it was working with the previous pastor and kind of planning it, because we were working with two other churches here in northern Wisconsin. So for everybody, it made it easier as far as planning, graphics, all of those type of things, just to be like, here's where we're going, here's the direction. Now it's shifted a little bit more, so we haven't been collaborating so much externally as we have internally. And so for me, it's good to go, okay, where are we going? Like, what's the direction we're going? Where are there gaps? So as I'm having these conversations with people going like, hey, I think we're hitting this pretty well. And they're like, yeah, but not this aspect of that, or here's something that we're missing. And so it helps me just kind of lay things out to go, this is the direction, and where are gaps that I need to fill. And then it just makes it, to me, it makes it easier for that sermon writing process as you go further in the process to say, I have things that are happening. I'm like, oh man, that's going to be great in this sermon series. Or I read a scripture, or I read a book, or I hear a podcast or whatever, and go, I'm going to put these things in just in my back pocket or in the calendar or in the, you know, the folder, so that when we get to that process, people have information that I think helps kind of lead in that certain direction. But I think more than anything, it just helps me see where there's preaching gaps or topic gaps in our community.
Billy, what about you?
Back as a wee lad, I was a Boy Scout, and they had a motto that said, be prepared. But really, when we planted, I was a bivocational pastor and didn't have any time, right? Like, there was 60 hours a week at work and 20 hours a week at trying to figure out how to plan a church, and like 2 hours a week left for family. So there, and don't sleep, right? I had tapered sleeping, and so it worked until it didn't. And so I knew I had to be ahead. I knew I had to stay ahead. I knew we also started as just an online church. It was the first church that we could advertise, go to church in your underwear this Sunday. And we did. But we pre-recorded everything. And so everything had to be ready in advance and mapped out. And when you're starting, you're selling not just that Sunday, you're selling who you're going to be. And so you had to map that out. Who are we going to be, and what is our approach going to be? And so that kind of forced me to.
So it's a necessity well. For you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then what are the benefits that you have seen from the necessity now as it carries on to not being as necessity, but it becomes now who you are and what you do?
Oh, I mean, it. We literally handed out a calendar at the beginning of this year that lets everybody know what's coming up and they can invite friends to, right? As it switches to the next month, it tells them what's happening the next month after that. Hmm. So you're going to hear people that have relationship problems. Hey, there's a relationship series next month, right? And so they can stay ahead in advance. It also gives the rest of my team amazing abilities to where our kids department can program the same way. They know the direction and they can program the same way. They can theme the same way. Our worship director knows what songs to listen to, what songs to introduce, where the heart of the church is going and what songs are going to connect with that. And so it enables the entire team. We also, one fun thing that we do is our new visitor gifts always have what's coming like 3 months down. Right? Because they might not come back for 3 months, right? Because they're starting their church shopping and going to all the different ones. And so they may not make it back, but they know what's happening 3 months from then. So, and it always ties into it. So our current one is Bluetooth headphones, which I'm not using. But it is for our summer playlist series, because our visitors need to know that there's a place for them this summer that they can come back to.
Wow. I love how you said that, because that's the biggest benefit I have seen for us in doing it, is that we are a lot less reactionary than we used to be. Not to say that we don't, you know, when something even culturally comes up that we don't go after that type of thing, but it really helps us lead from even vision for the year, and being able to weave that in and out and planning. You know, like you said, events or community groups and things like that pop up around these type things. It's just been so, so helpful. And so I 100% agree with that. Let's go. Yeah, go ahead.
I've actually seen where the planning played into the cultural events, and I was scared. Like there was literally a time where it was planned to talk on racism, and then that's when the church shooting happened, like that Sunday. There was all these things, and so many things have come into alignment with exactly what people are going through, exactly when they're happening. And so there's some times where I'm like, should I change it? And I'm like, I'm trusting the plan. Like, yeah. God knew in October, God knew before, and he's prepared me for this.
So. I'm so glad that you said that too, Billy, because that really speaks to maybe the flip side of what people would sometimes say, like, oh, you're over planning. You're not allowing space for the Holy Spirit to speak and to move. Because you're right. I've heard the exact same thing of, you know, something that we planned almost a year ago. And you're like, they come up to me afterwards, like, you have no idea that exactly what I needed to hear today. And it's like, well, praise the Lord, we are still hearing, you know, right, from the Holy Spirit, and have seen that just come to fruition. It's fantastic.
Especially if Andy Stanley ended up preaching on it on the same Sunday that you preached on it, and you just like went back and heard his, and you were like, wait a minute, they lined up? How'd that happen?
Yes. Yeah.
We talked to the same God.
Amazing.
Did you just call God? So,
No.
He just did that.
My goodness, that'll be the one that we use for any kind of promotional. That'll be good. We'll tag him, and it'll be this whole thing. It'll be awesome. So, all right, for those that maybe who haven't done this, you guys have talked a little bit about your process in prepping for the year. Tell us, where do you begin, and what are some of the things that you keep in mind? So, like, somebody who's never done this before, where do you start?
The life cycle of your community. I pull up my school calendar. I find out when spring breaks are. I find out my factory shutdown dates, what their life cycle is going to be going into this next year. And because that's who I'm trying to reach. And so what is that cycle? Because I don't want to plan this big thing to just bomb when everybody leaves on spring break, because it's Indiana and there's plenty of places to go when you don't want to be there. And, right. And so I put them first by saying, what's going on in my community first? And how can I plan with that? And then on a personal note, I look at, when am I going to take a vacation?
Yeah.
When am I going to be gone? this next year, and where are the sitters in alignment? And because if I'm not going to be healthy, that year isn't going to make any sense. Any meat smokers out there, any crockpot cookers out there, I love to throw in the ingredients all year long for the next year. I'm constantly asking God, where are we headed next? What does this church need to know? Where do you want us to go? Where do you want us to go as internal community and then external community? Like, who are the new people that are going to be coming and what do they need to hear? And so it all has to do with our vision and values, how we keep score of if we're winning or not, plays into it. Some metrics and where we see room for improvement. And so for me, it's an ongoing thing that kind of culminates in October of every year. I'm constantly throwing in, having files for the next year, throwing in ideas, throwing in graphics, throwing in artwork, throwing in random notes. And then in October, I go back to each individual file and folder and then begin to map out, what does that look like? What does that look like for the actual next year? And so I try to map out a good 20 series, and then I give them to all our kind of coaches and team leaders and say, hey, you're as much a part of this as I am. I said, you are leading small groups in this. You are leading your ministry teams in this. You're sitting down with parents. You're meeting with kids. And so it, then they help me narrow it down to usually 10 series for the entire year.
That's good.
I think for me, a lot of it now has to do with, unfortunately, has to do with the fact that I'm using people who now all have jobs. Yeah. They are, again, this is not their job even a little bit. And so for me, it's like trying to figure out how things best fit into their schedules. Mm-hmm. And then again, I'm working at a coffee shop. I'm a chaplain for the police department. Like, I'm hearing things that are happening in our community on a pretty regular basis that are a lot of times even deeper than the surface stuff because of the relationships that I've been super fortunate to have. But with that, I try not to preach at people, but to preach to the needs of what our local community is kind of going through. And so that's kind of what we do, is look at those things and say, hey, these are the things that we're hearing people, you know, wanting community, people work, you know, struggling through relationships, whatever. So how do we then as a church start to walk people through those things?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Brenton, what about you when it comes to planning out?
Yes. My wife is my programmer. She does so well. She knows exactly before, like, she's probably 3 years ahead of us, but she knows everything that's happening. And so she helps me figure out which days and times that I will be gone, and then preparing and being aware of that. Also the community calendars, all of those things that have already been said. That's exactly what we do. And then I just bring, like I said, my wife is a great person to have on my team. And we have some other people around us that are aware of some of the things, and we collaborate together on putting a schedule together for everybody. So that works, and it's flexible. That's the one thing that I have learned, is everything is has to be flexible. People drop out at the last minute, and rather than getting bitter or angry, just know that that's part of life and be ready, be prepared. I think that's probably the thing in all of this, is just, this is preparing. So we're prepared for everything.
That's good. I use all of those components. I think the only thing, I'm trying to think, what do I add to this? One thing we didn't talk about maybe was the seasons, and we I know you did somewhat when you're talking about when are people gone, but also seasonal things, holidays, and usually mapping out when is Easter this year. Is it going to be earlier? Is it going to be later? Mm-hmm. And then how do I build to that? Or am I going to build and spring from that? And a lot of that for me comes from just recognizing where's my context now? Like, what are the things that we're really wrestling with? Like, because what perhaps in, you know, northern Wisconsin are the main things that people wrestle with are not going to be the same things in, you know, Northeast, you know, Iowa. And so we're trying to think through that. But one of the other things that I always try to do too, and I always, even you preaching in some of this regard of how can I also use this to reinforce the mission, vision, values, right? For that we have, that we express as our local expression of church. And yet, you know, how does that play in and practically live out in where they're at as well? And so I think it works, you know. I mean, you know, nobody's complained yet. At least, usually they leave if they do that, right? So there's been no chat boards created in my name that I know of. So
you're on block, I'm not on the dark. Chad. They've all blocked you from them. You're not allowed to see those.
I was about to say, I'm not on the dark web yeah. either. So that might be some of it. Tell me something, maybe how would you describe your style? Of, you know, and maybe think, strike that. Here's the actual question. Okay. There is these two words. One is preaching and one is teaching. And so I'm curious what your understanding of that, of the difference between the two is to be, and maybe where you fall within the spectrum between preaching and teaching.
So I grew up in a pastor's home, a third generation pastor, and I know what we used to consider preaching. As far as like for me, I always, when people get preachy, like that's never a good phrase, right? Like when people are like, "Oh, you're getting preachy," and so for me, I'm like, I don't ever want that phrase. And I think even how I used to speak was more, I would say, preachy. I maybe even still use that phrase, I preach, but I would tend to be more conversational / teaching than I do what I think I personally would kind of think of what preaching is, and which has been a huge change for me in the last few years. So for me, I think more when I hear preaching and teaching, I think more delivery style. And mine is definitely more conversational / teaching than it would be preaching, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So then, Billy, what about you?
I see teaching as I'm here to teach you about this, and you get to take it and do what you want with it, right? I see preaching is delivering the practical application, drawing that out and letting people see what they can do with it, helping them practically apply it to their lives and put it into place. So yeah. A teacher, I think, of just there to give information.
Yeah. Okay.
Robert Morris talks about preaching and teaching is like preaching is the burden and I'm giving you the burden, and teaching is how to fulfill or how to play out that burden in life.
Interesting. So like I'm listening to you guys and I'm thinking maybe I just need to stop using both words altogether and just go back to sermonizing. Cause like what I thought was right, maybe, you know, not that there's a right or wrong. I think maybe if I'm stylistically, yeah, I am more conversational. I like to, you know, use humor because I like to have fun. Yeah. If it's not going to be fun, I don't want no part of it. Because like you said, then it is that just that monotone, just receiving information, and most people don't actually retain anything that way. And so trying to present it in a way that's practical and relevant and all of the fun, right? That's interesting. So yeah, I'm just going to start using sermonizing. I'm not saying preaching and teaching anymore.
Yeah, I like to, I think of every conversation is just that. It's a conversation that I'm having with people that does not stop the second I'm done talking, but that is an ongoing conversation for us to work at in community together, which is what the church is about. It's community together. So we're having a conversation, and if it's dead the second I'm done actually talking from the stage, then did we actually accomplish anything?
That's good.
Like I'm just that. Ready to rewrite the song Womanizer and Sermonizer, and then we can all make a music video out of it and
love
introduce
it.
The theme and...
And I'm it'll sure be your Easter message. Color coded.
Womanizer on the mouth.
You know, I have to tell this story just real quick, if you'll indulge me just for a second. Because when I first got here, I mentioned earlier that I'm a much different style I'm more of a, I guess, a teacher, and I was told this, and I'll just, then the previous, he was more of a preacher, which really translates to he's way more high energy and up, and I am not. I'm like, what you see is what you get type of a thing. And had a guy afterwards, who's no longer here, by the way, but he was just like, you know, I'm like, hey, how's it going? He was like, you know, that was good. You know, it was, you know, you were kind of, at first I didn't know where you were going, but it landed well. And I was like, oh, all right, this is going well. And he's like, you know, I think I'm still kind of adjusting because you're, you know, pastor, and I won't say his name, was more of a preacher, and you're more of a teacher. And I remember I just looked at him and just like, thank you. Like, what do you want me to do with that? But that goes back to that identity thing that we were talking about of knowing who you are and being okay with that. And, you know.
Well, and I mean, to be honest, you have to look at Pentecostal churches and how, again, how they were actually taught. Like my dad, I used to have conversations with him that they were taught to like how to yell in a message. Like that was part of their Bible college like teaching. Wow. Was how to like to, because my dad, like you can listen to sermons from my dad and my grandpa and they sound almost identical sometimes. I'm like, what in the world? Huh. And I'm like, they're completely different people. But it was like that was actually taught in their sermon writing classes and sermon preaching classes of how to get louder and to like bring crescendo to get to certain points and then come back down. And so I think typically if I get that you're more of a teacher than a preacher, it's typically from an older person in our congregation who experienced those, that type of preaching. And that's what they fell in love with. That's what was part of their spiritual experience. And so for them, that's comforting. That's what they know. And so when I switch that or I have a different approach, it's uncomfortable. And not that it's bad, it's just, it makes them uncomfortable. And so it's them learning me and me learning them.
Well, isn't each of those things, and we've only hit on two of them, preaching and teaching, but they're gifts to the church. And so each thing is a gift, really, as inside of a person. So,
well, and I also go back to, you know, and this is not bagging on anybody for a certain style and one is elevated over the other. It really does take all types because some people, they just, you know, it's not for them, and that's okay. That's the reason we have different expressions of church. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we have to be, I think as leaders, if we can be okay with who we are, then that will just maybe set the tone for others to be okay with wherever they're at as well and how they receive it.
So, well, I mean, we're all different. All four of us present very differently.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, I don't know if most of you would want to even come to my church. But part of that is
I've been to your church so many times. It's like my second church. Just
but part of that is, but again, it's just like I think for me, I struggle sometimes because in presentation and those type of things, you think, well, man, I have to try to switch for this person or adjust for that person. Chad, as you were saying, just being comfortable with yourself. And part of it is I'm like, we're not cool. We're not a cool church. Like, we're just very who we are. And if you don't want that, I'm okay with that because like that's us developing in who we are. And you just like something different. You might like a different cup of coffee than I do. That's okay. Find a different coffee shop. Like, I'm going to go to the coffee shop that I feel meets my needs and not in a consumeristic point, but like this is who I am. I'm not going to switch coffee because you think your coffee is better than mine. Nope, I still like my black coffee the way that it is. So I like this community. I think that's why as you read through the New Testament, is they talk about gifts in the local body, that everything is there. I don't need 17 of the same gifting. If you're at my church and you're not supposed to be, you're robbing another body of that gifting.
That's good.
And so part of that is just personality and dynamics and things like that. And to go, hey, we might not be the right fit for you, and that's okay.
It's good. It's good. Hey, let's get you out on this then. All right. Parting words when it comes to message anything. What's the thing that you would pass along, the wisdom to somebody out there listening, regardless of where they're at in how long an experience or comfortability, whatever, what's the thing you say to people when it comes to delivering a message, writing a message, all of it?
I think I would say, number one, pray a lot. because you're going to get humbled real quick. And you might think you're good, but there's always somebody better. And sometimes some of those people that are better you are actually in your congregation, and that sucks. And so to just praying like God, you know, again, humility, but God help me in my giftings and all of those type of things. But I think the second thing that I think had helped me the most is have somebody have real conversations with you about how you present and preach and teach and those type of things, to get real feedback. Typically, I think most of us have heard, "Hey, Pastor, that was a good message today." And I'm like, "Really? What was good about it? Like, what sucked about it? Like, what could I have done?" And so I now have people in my life that they'll be like, "Hey, good message, but you said this, and you know, you might need to clarify that next Sunday," or you know, things like that. And that has made me a completely different speaker or presenter, just for that reason of having legitimate conversations with people who care about me and want to see me do better, not just they're like, "Oh, you suck and I want to make sure that that I tear you down," but they actually care and want to see us as a body move forward.
That's good. Billy, what about you?
I say preach for where you're headed, not where you're at. Whether I know everybody's saved in the room or not, I'm doing an altar call.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's people online, but I also need everybody in the room to know that they can invite their unsaved friends and that life may be changed, right? Like if you're seeing that you have no children's ministry, no youth group, then why are you not doing a parenting series? Right? Like you've got to preach for what you need and where you need to grow and where you need to go. And tell them, okay, you're all grandmas and grandpas, but your grandkids are at your house because your kids aren't here learning this stuff. You're watching them all the time. You're the grandkids' parents because your parents don't know how to apply this. So get them here. Your coworkers don't know this, right? And so I always preach for what you need to grow.
Mm-hmm. Good. Brenton, what about you?
Listen to the Holy Spirit. Pray, listen to the Holy Spirit. Like we talked about at the beginning, prepare early and often. And then when you're prepared, I feel like that I'm more free when I'm prepared to hear everything and see everything else going on. So my two cents.
That's good. That's good. I would say two things. Stay humble. Yeah. And stop trying to one-up yourself or others as well. And so like the humility, like to echo exactly what you guys have all said, listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to what others are saying, especially my team or those closest to me who can actually speak the truth in love and actually mean it, not the, you know, constructive, I'm doing air quotes, constructive criticism, right? But then also the don't try to one-up. Man, you guys are all familiar with the Babylon Bee, that satire. Yeah. There was a fake headline that they did years ago that just resonated with me. And it was this picture of this like pastor, looked like he'd been shot out of a cannon. And like the headline says, "How am I going to top this next week?" says pastor who just got shot out of a cannon. And I just thought, oh my gosh, like if that could just be like, if anybody could just, you know, like, because you're not going to have the home run sermon every week, right? Sometimes we have to be good with just getting on base, right? Or whatever. And so, man, that's just stuck with me. But I think that draws back to the humility of Dustin. You said, we're not the coolest. I'm not, you know, whatever. We're just going to be who we are. And we're going to go from that. So, man. Guys, this has been so helpful even to me, and I know this is going to help a lot of people, and I just want to say on behalf of all of them and even Brenton, thank you for being here. This has just been awesome. Hopefully, we'll be able to have you guys on again and talk about something else super fun.
Well, thanks for having us, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, awesome.
Great.
Plus, I love getting a look at your face.
Oh, yeah. Well, stick around, buddy. Stick around. Stick around. Well, once again, we want to say thanks for joining us for this episode of Ministry Without Hating It. We are going to leave, as we normally do in the show notes, ways to get in touch with Billy and Dustin, and also any resources that were mentioned in this. And thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Yeah.